May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 837. 837. Repent, awakened souls, repent. Hear the good tidings God has sent, of sinners saved and sins forgiven, and beggars raised to reign in heaven. Hymn 837.
Thank you. the Lord open our eyes this evening as we read from his word, from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. And we'll begin reading at verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and we'll begin reading at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And he said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" They said unto him, "Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory." But Jesus said unto them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto him, "We can." And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may he grant that needed help to pray. Almost holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. Lord, we come this evening, and may we come so, with that right heart, seeking to worship a triune God. May we come with a hunger, a thirst, a need which nothing this earth can offer can fill. May our cry be, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Because to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all else beside. Yet, Lord, left to ourselves, there are many idols in our heart which rival thee. There is much that we cling to by nature. For, Lord, we are sinners in thy sight. And we have to prove that sin is mixed with all we do. And that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Yet, Lord, we know there are one and another here although they may feel the flesh and mourn over it. It is because they know Christ in them, the hope of glory, thy Spirit residing within them. And so, dear Holy Spirit, may we know tonight thy power in our midst, quickening souls, pointing them to Christ, sanctifying our hearts. Oh Lord, or else we will meet in vain tonight. Lord, if there are those that have had that hunger and desire and true prayer as they have come up to worship this evening, it is of thee. May they not go home empty. O Lord, we feel so greatly the solemn responsibility of standing in this place with thy holy word before us, with an expectant people. Lord, do satisfy the needs this night. For we often come, Lord, with those wants. We often come with those things that we think we need. But do give us that food convenient for our souls. For Lord, thou knowest far better than we do what will be good for us. We are like those foolish sheep that will be distracted and wander in the way. Yet may we know thee as our heavenly shepherd, guiding and leading us in this wilderness journey. For this journey of life will be a wilderness to thy people. But thy people will need to graze in those green pastures from time to time. And may it be such a time this evening, by thy grace. Lord, we thank thee that we have the strength to gather together again. That there are those who have come tonight. That thou hast not forsaken this land, our churches completely. Lord, we live in this day. Lord, it is the day, and a day of small things we could say, but there are things. There is still thy work for which we thank thee. But Lord, may there be that real prayer in the hearts of thy people for that true increase. Lord, may it be our constant concern, our standing before a holy God, but not ours only. Those we know, those we love, those we are acquainted with, those that walk up and down past these chapel doors, that they may be drawn by thy love, that we may be given those opportunities to talk unto them, that we may not be ashamed of thee. For Lord, thou knowest all things. And those Bibles that have been taken from the door over the past months and years, Lord, may there have been those passages that have been read, that have caused one another to ponder what these things mean. And Lord, may there be others that are brought more deeply than that, that are brought into that conviction, into that understanding of the foolishness of all that this earth calls valuable, and that they may see that there is that treasure in heaven, and it is that needful treasure. So Lord, work in this village, we pray, that there may be many that come and join with them here, that those that have left may be brought back, that there may be a strengthening. We pray, Lord, that there may be a building up in the church here too. Lord, we would give thanks for what thou hast done here and in other connected causes in recent months and years. But Lord, we beg on for more. May there be many that put on that profession of faith, that come to see that they have nothing to bring unto thee. They can bring nothing unto thee. But Lord, they look to thy mercy by faith and see contained in thy word that thou didst send thy dear Son for sinners and not the righteous. That is how we must come. And if there be those that are in that case this evening, felt sinners but not being able to find that rest which they so desire, O Lord, may they be set free tonight and find that true gospel liberty, Lord, and may be healed from all their sicknesses. Lord, we pray for those that are unable to be here this evening. One and another, for various reasons, may not be here. Lord, thou knowest the reasons. Lord, do be with them. And we would pray for those that are unwell, those that have those afflictions in body and in mind, those who care for those in need, we would remember them too. And may we, while we have our strength, in body and in our mind, be truly thankful for it. Yet, Lord, we often prove that it is not till these things are taken do we truly value them. Lord, we pray that as strength is given, each one of thy people may serve thee with the abilities and various gifts that they have been given, for thine honour and glory. Lord, we pray for all those that worship this evening, all those that have worshipped this day, in those causes of truth that we are connected with, and in all places of worship, up and down this land where thy word is faithfully preached. Lord, may there yet be days of real blessing. Lord, we pray for those who worship today in and have worshipped today in other lands, where there is great fear and persecution and hardship. Do be with those that suffer great things for thy name's sake. May there be that true peace which passeth all understanding in their hearts. And may they know that it is through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray that as we gather this evening, there may be something for varying needs tonight. For the children, the middle-aged, the old, through the dead in trespasses and sins, through the seeking souls, through to those that know a little of thy love, to those who have tasted and handled and felt but long to know more. Lord, we desire that thy word, we know it can be used in so many ways in one sermon. May it be used, Lord, by thy Spirit to touch their needs. Be with one at the desk this evening. Help him as he gives out the hymns, and in his lonely pathway that he now has, do bless him and help him. And may the church and congregation be that true praying support. We thank thee for that strength given to him thus far, and the family too, with the loss of a mother. Lord, these are great things, and we thank thee for that help granted thus far. And as these anniversary times draw near, and Lord, thou knowest the grief that can come, may there be that peace underneath it all, knowing that she is with Christ, which is far better. And Lord, may that be where our affections and eyes are drawn, looking upward, Lord, away from ourselves, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All those who are tried and tempted tonight as to where they are, those who have had that work of faith begun in their hearts, may they truly know, Lord, that what thou hast begun, thou wilt finish. And though our soul through many changes goes, thy love no variation knows. Yet, Lord, we solemnly can be brought into unbelief, to question thy work. O Lord, may we cry with thy disciples, Lord, increase our faith. We pray for those other causes of truth represented here this evening, to be with them too. And Lord, we will pray for those that visited this morning too, Lord. Do bless them in their endeavours in North Stow. And Lord, where there are those similar denominations or churches, Lord, may thy work, wherever it is true, be truly blessed. And Lord, we ask that there may be more unity in the churches. May it be thy holy will that those breaches may be healed and that we may see more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Oh Lord, may we know it personally in our own hearts and in the hearts of those that we are connected with. Yet Lord, may we cling to the truth. Yet Lord, may that be all we cling to, the truth, and not to that which we have concocted in our own minds, which is right. May our eyes continually be drawn to thy word for our only guidance. Yet, Lord, may thy word not be left to our own interpretation, but, Lord, may we be given the wisdom of thy Spirit. Lord, we ask that everyone here now may be given a real spirit of prayer. They may pray that their hearts will be prepared to receive thy word, that through the preached word tonight, the power of thy Spirit will attend it. That thou wilt pour in unto us that we may pour out to the people. That there may be that real good that is done. Thou knowest our needs, Lord, every one of us and all about us. So come this night, we truly pray. Forgive all that we have asked amiss. And make up in giving where we fail in our asking. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 626, 626. Sinners who on Jesus rest must eternally be blessed. All Jehovah's love can give, they from Jesus shall receive. 626.
need of the Lord to help us each once more this evening. I'll ask you to turn with me to the chapter that we read, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, and the last verse, verse 52. Mark chapter 10 and verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And Jesus said unto him, that is blind Bartimaeus, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. All of us here, I believe, can see naturally. But how many of us can see spiritually? How disconcerting and distressing it must be to be blind. Particularly in the day in which Jesus was upon this earth. There was no welfare state. This poor man couldn't provide for himself. We read he sat by the highway side begging. Yet although this man was blind naturally, this man had something that many people didn't have. And many people here this evening too probably don't have or may not have that spiritual sight. So this evening, as we look at this man, may the Lord help us to examine this case and apply it to ourselves spiritually. And as we look at this, as the Lord leads us, we may consider that firstly, this man had a need. Then, what made him whole? And then the result of that being made whole. This blind man, Bartimaeus, he needed something. Have you come up this evening in need of something? Have you come up desiring tonight that Jesus of Nazareth would call you, that he may give you what you need? And it didn't really strike me till reading this chapter tonight that this account of James and John is in this same chapter, right next to it. They came wanting something, didn't they? And what did they want? They wanted to sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand of Jesus when he was in glory. And why did they want it? For their pride and for their glory. But what a difference with blind Bartimaeus. He had a need. His cry was really with the hymn writer, "Give me Christ or else I die." He couldn't survive for much longer, maybe, without his sight being restored. And maybe that's how you feel to be this evening. "I cannot survive much longer, Lord, unless I know that thou art mine. Unless I know and can claim by that precious gift of faith that Jesus is mine." But if that's how you've come this evening, if you've come with that real desire, do you see a similarity that you have with blind Bartimaeus here? You've got a need. You've got a need for something. You are coming, asking. You are seeking, and you are knocking. You need something. And do not neglect, dear soul, if that is you tonight. That's something to be thankful for. That you feel your need. What does the hymn writer say? "All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him." But what also do we see with blind Bartimaeus? An urgency. An urgency. We have contained in that hymn 737, don't we? "Gracious Lord, incline thine ear, my requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never ceasing cry, give me Christ or else I die." But what do we find in those last two verses? "Thou dost freely save the lost. In thy grace alone I trust. With my earnest suit comply, give me Christ, or else I die. Thou dost promise to forgive all who in thy Son believe. Lord, I know thou canst not lie. Give me Christ, or else I die." And maybe the Lord has brought you to that point now. That urgent point. That urgent point. "Give me Christ, or else I die." That's where Bartimaeus was. And yet maybe you are tempted and say, "Well, doesn't the word of God say that we must wait? That we must wait patiently, quietly?" And yet I feel so far from quiet. How can I wait quietly? We have those words in Lamentations chapter 3, don't we? "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And maybe the devil is saying to you, "You must just quietly wait. You must just quietly wait." But you can't, can you? And why can you not quietly wait? Because the devil is distorting that word "wait" in your mind. For what do we read in that preceding verse in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25? "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." The devil will persuade you that that waiting consists of sitting back, relaxing, and the Lord will come when he sees fit. You must just wait. No, the soul that feels his need cannot be content there. He cannot be. He will be a seeker. He will be asking, and he will be knocking. That's the waiting. That waiting of anticipation. And that is the way that that biblical word is so often set before us. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 we have contained there, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour." That same word "look" elsewhere in the New Testament is interpreted "wait." There is that waiting, there is that looking, there is that need. If we have been absent from a loved one for a long time, and we know that they are coming at any moment, any day, we are anticipating, we are looking, we are searching, we are desiring to see them again. And that is how the soul that the Lord is working in will come. Looking, looking and waiting. Looking in that way. And maybe that's how you've come in tonight. Like blind Bartimaeus. Yes, sitting at the wayside. But he was not going to be silenced, because he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Has that had to be your cry, dear friend? Have you cried that even today? "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me." Why is that? Because, dear soul, you know something about yourself, and you know something about God, and you know a little of faith. We think of that hymn number, that well-known hymn, number 198. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Everyone in this world is lost before the work of grace. But there are many that don't realize they're lost. Blind Bartimaeus had a need. And as John Newton carries on in that hymn, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed." So as he cried there, "Have mercy on me," many charged him that he should hold his peace. Maybe there are many things in your life that are charging you to hold your peace. Maybe not yet. "Oh, I'm in such a difficult situation. These things can wait." But they can't wait. The convicted soul that feels his need will come with that urgent case. As the hymn writer says, "Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Have mercy on me." But what then do we see in this account? And maybe some of you can enter into this. We hear those that call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." I wonder how many here this evening are stuck at this point in their spiritual experience. They have heard of Jesus. They have heard him, as it were, calling them. And yet, that is where it stops. And yet, what do we see in the case of Bartimaeus? What made him whole? It was his faith. It was his faith that made him whole, that made him come to Jesus. Now, this is no works in and of ourselves, because none will ever come to Jesus unless they first feel their need. It's an impossibility. Until there has been that work of regeneration, none can come to Jesus, as it were. But we have in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 28, those well-known words, don't we? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I may have said it here before, and I have said it in varying places. How many there are that get this verse the wrong way round? How many look at that verse and think that they can only come when they have experienced that rest? That unless they have known that rest, they cannot come to Jesus. It's not how it works, dear friends. How are we told in Hebrews chapter 11? We are to come, or to walk. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. That is how Bartimaeus had to walk. He had to walk by faith and not by sight. And it was his faith that made him whole. It was that faith that will make you enter into that rest. It is by faith. But it's not your faith. It's God-given faith. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. The Lord works. You feel your need. You feel your need. But how many are left at the side of the road, thinking, as it were, I must have my sight before I can come to Jesus? No, dear friends, we walk by faith and not by sight. Some people in their spiritual experience feel they know so little. Feel they have nothing. Feel that they're so paltry in their knowledge of these things. But from my experience of dealing with one and another, thankfully, that have been wrought upon by the Lord, it is often those that feel to know so little that when they come by faith, experience an unspeakable rest, an unspeakable peace, an unspeakable comfort. Because maybe it is because they have had to walk more by faith than those who have had a great work, a great conviction of sin, a great outpouring upon them. Maybe it is because their faith is stronger. But it all comes to this same point. They see. They see. There were many in Jesus' day that saw lots of miracles. This was as Jesus was going into Jerusalem, almost the end of his healing ministry, wasn't it? He had healed so many. And yet we read in John's Gospel, don't we, in chapter 12, we read there, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Many had seen much of his work, and they believed not. Why? We have it in Scripture here, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. You know, I said this afternoon at Fenstanton. In the preaching of the Word of God, it is a great responsibility. And it is a great trial to the preacher. In one way, that we cannot open your eyes. I can shout, I can scream, I can grab you by the shoulders and shake you, but you will not believe. You will not believe. It's the Spirit's work. And although that may frustrate us from time to time, when we come back month by month, year by year, and see, well, let's be honest, the same ones asleep in the congregation, it troubles us. But it also comforts us that we know it's not our work. We know it's the Spirit's work to open your eyes. But it's our responsibility to lay the gospel before you. To lay before you the truths of faith, repentance, sin and salvation. And hope that through it, and pray that through it, the Lord will guide you into truth, into peace, into liberty. And by faith, receive your sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And this is where all of the Lord's people are brought to. And they're all brought in different ways. And maybe it will do us good to look at a few examples of how the Lord did work in one and another. We think of the account of Jairus' daughter or in Mark chapter 5. We have contained in there, later on in that chapter, we have that woman in verse 33, that woman who came fearing and trembling. Knowing what was done in her, the woman with the issue of blood, wasn't it? Came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. This woman came fearing and trembling. Maybe that's how you've come tonight. But it's the same thing that saved her. What was the word of Jesus to her? Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Some will come in that fearing and that trembling way. But they come. She came because she had a need. Maybe you're coming fearing and trembling too, because you had a need. We think of the parable of the publican, don't we? What did he cry? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How did that man come? Under great conviction of sin. That parable lays that clear, doesn't it? He viewed himself as a great sinner. Under conviction of sin. That is how that man came. Under that conviction. And that's maybe where you are tonight. Knowing your need. But what did Jesus say of him? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But if you've cried that prayer with the publican, there must be faith in that prayer. Because there's much in it. A short prayer of a few words. But what do we have? God. It begins with God and it ends with sinner. And in the middle is our need. His mercy. His mercy. That in its simplest form is the gospel. A holy God, an unworthy sinner, and our need of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. The publican came with that great conviction of sin. My eyes turn to the next page. We have the account of Zacchaeus. Maybe that is how you are feel to be. No great work, no great conviction. But like Zacchaeus, there's something missing. Something missing in your life. He was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. That's an understatement if ever we see it. Those publicans, those tax collectors, they were very wealthy. He was the chief. He would have been extremely wealthy. He could have got whatever he wanted pretty much in this world. Didn't satisfy him. Maybe that's where you are tonight. And come in with the hymn writer. You have within you that aching void which the world can never fill. But with that man, Jesus came to the place. He looked up, he saw him. He spoke to Zacchaeus, "Come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Jesus' words to him were, "This day is salvation come to this house." And why? Because he had been given faith to see that despite all that he had, he needed something that the world could not give him. And then we have for our text, don't we? Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus here. He came so urgently. But they all came, didn't they? They all came in that way, in the lines of that hymn. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. And if that's where you are tonight, what does the next line of that hymn say? This he gives you. If you've got that tonight, a poor sinner, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, understand this. It's he that's convicted you. It's he that's given you to feel your need. And it's he that stands ready to save you, full of pity, joined with power. And believe, dear soul, that he is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. What did we sing in that first hymn this evening? Believe the gospel and rejoice. Sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. His goodness praise. His wonders tell. Who ransomed our poor souls from hell. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's what made him whole. That's what makes you whole. And it's God that gives it to you. But as we come to this latter part of this text, he was whole. Jesus said unto him, thy faith hath made thee whole. And yet we see a deeper level than just a natural sight, don't we? Immediately he received his sight. But then what? He followed Jesus in the way. Are there any here tonight that have felt their need? That have been given that faith to see who they are and who God is? That have cried for mercy? That have felt the Lord calling them? But have you followed Jesus in the way? For if we have been freely pardoned, we must freely follow. The Lord commands obedience. But we don't. The Lord's people do not follow him unwillingly. We read, don't we, in 2 Corinthians, what is it that constrains us? The love of Christ constraineth us. That's what follows the sinner, that causes the sinner to follow him. On such love my soul still ponder. Ponder that love. Love so rich, so free, and while lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? It's the love of Christ that constrains sinners to follow Jesus in the way. It's the love of Christ that constrained Bartimaeus to follow. And it will be the love of Christ which constrains you. You know, we are exhorted in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't know what you have on your board out here. I didn't look on the way in. It may say strict Baptist. It may say particular Baptist. It may say peculiar Baptist. Some places say general Baptist. But what is it that is on all those signs? That word Baptist. And yet, how many there are that are unbaptized in our churches? And if you stand in this place and others that have to stand in this place and preach the word of God, we have to, or we should, be much in prayer about why is this? Is it the preaching? Is it that there is nothing in the people before us? Is there a misunderstanding of what this means? What's the reason? What's the reason? Because if there is belief, if the Lord has worked within you, has caused you to feel your need, and you have been drawn by that love, dear friends, there must be that following Jesus in the way. You know, I hear some, oh, I haven't had a word to be baptized. Where does it say you need a word to be baptized? It says you need to be baptized if you believe on him. It's the love of Christ that will constrain you. The Lord says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It is an outward testimony of an inward change. It is the Lord's work. My thoughts go to those words in John's Gospel, chapter 9. If my eyes can go upon it. And verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. A different account of a blind man. But can you say this tonight? I don't know much. I'm not what I desire to be. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I was blind to who God was. Been brought up a Baptist all my life. Was blind to it. I was blind to who I am. An unworthy, needy sinner. Although I've attended chapel all my life. Until the Spirit of God reveals a precious Christ to you, your need of him, you are blind. But as he gives that gift of faith, he will give that gift of repentance. And when that work is in the hearts of his people, those obstacles will be removed because the love of Christ constraineth you. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Maybe the devil tempts you tonight and says, well, that's where I fall short. I'm not whole. I'm not what I should be. Well, what does the margin say of those words in my Bible? Made thee whole or saved thee. We will never feel perfect on this earth. We will prove every day that we are dragging about that body of sin and death. And if you feel to be like the Apostle Paul, crying out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You're with the Apostle Paul. You're with me. And you're with many others in this place, mourning our sin. But what's the change? There was a time when the Apostle Paul didn't mourn his sin. There was a time when I didn't mourn my sin. But when the Lord works, when the Lord works, there will be that change. And you know, one of the ways that we can tell that there is a change is that our sin now grieves us. It's a mark, dear friends, that something is different. Your sin is now a concern to you. Your emptiness is now a concern to you. You know that you need that treasure in heaven. And there is only one way that it comes. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's how the soul is to walk, by faith. It's how all that great list in Hebrews 11 had to walk. Abraham, Noah, and so on. They all had to walk by faith. May the Lord reveal to your heart too that that is how you must walk. By faith and not by sight. And prove, as dear blind Bartimaeus did too, that it is in the walking by faith that the sight is received. And it's not the receiving of sight that makes us walk. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach at our special services tomorrow, in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and the evening at 6:15, and the collections will be taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 1055. 1055. Come ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Hymn 1055.
pray that there may be something from our gathering together today. May there have been a heart here or there that has found something today in thy word which they didn't see before. Lord, it is thy work. And the cry of thy people is, Lord, do work, that we may honour and glorify thy precious name. Be precious to many here, and do grant to many that precious gift of faith, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To believe that his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, his intercession, his ongoing continual work is essential for us and is for us. Be with the dear people here now, Lord. Take them to their homes in peace and safety. But above all, Lord, may we be taken to our heavenly home in peace and safety too. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.